Hi, everybody. Team, I'm so glad to have you back for Game. I'm your host and your coaching teammate, Shauna Griffiths, and I'm grateful to have you here, as I said. We're having a conversation with an impactful leader who I am so glad to be newly getting to know. If you're new to the show, folks, every episode is designed to help you take your leadership game to the next level. Because you see, I believe that leadership is a sport. We can choose the mindset and the way of what I call the leadership athlete. So that means you're going to actively choose to put in work, to learn, to grow, and evolve yourself every day, which our guest and I were just talking about, actually. You can choose to be coachable and adaptable and resilient and to courageously and authentically take your shots and improve along the way. It's going to help you be better for yourself, for your teammates in life and in work, for the people in your care. So you can choose these things, just as a lot of really high-performing athletes choose the things that make themselves at the top of their game. You could also choose to keep tuning into game. Again, every episode is delivering you real talk and takeaways. I'm always going to bring you diverse, authentic leaders who are committed to maximizing their contribution and impact. Which brings me to today's guest. Stephen Pruitt is joining us. He is the principal of a company slash agency called Mountain View Group. So Mountain View Group is award-winning. And when I say award-winning, folks, I met Stephen at a conference, the TAN conference, which is a network of independent agencies. And he and his team hosted happy hour at their office. I walked in the wine tasting, that's right. The awards. I was blown away and I was really excited to get to know more about you. So it is a creative services shop company, a media production, high-end media production in Atlanta. So again, thank you. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you on.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for the nice introduction.
So tell us if you can ground folks in what is Mountain View Group? What do you do? What do you deliver and specialize in? And very much aimed at the problems or challenges that you're uniquely solving for your clients.
Sure. So, as you said, is a creative agency headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. And what we do is strategic communications delivered with a whole suite of creative services. So our expertise is in sort of two primary areas. One of them is internal corporate communications. So we work a lot in employee and corporate culture, HR communications, helping to just build a better internal team. And then the other side of my work is B2B corporate marketing, which often looks like brand positioning, trade show collateral and support, and that sort of thing. Our team, it's always a lead with a sort of the brand expertise and strategic communication side of it, which is analysis of how our corporation, where they are, and then planning and design to move the business forward. And then that's supported with a whole lot of video production and graphic design, interactive design, photography, all sorts of creative services.
Thank you so much for describing that. So you were just talking to me about this brand film, this international brand film that's going to be
Yes.
coming out soon. So who are you working with and what does it actually look like?
Sure. So just reference, RTX is one of our most active clients. RTX is the new name of Raytheon Technologies, which is the largest aerospace and defense company in the world. And we help them with their brand positioning, so they how they articulate their value proposition to the world, and then what their business and what their purpose looks like, both within the industry sector they're in, but also sort of for the greater world and society. And one of the things we do is large scale international brand films. And we were chatting before. I was in India before the holidays, and we had teams in Mexico. We had teams all over the U.S. And the end product, the delivery, is a brand film they'll use with all their customer shows on their website, all their web marketing. So it's a 2 minute person in their business.
Sounds amazing. Can't wait
And
to.
some of our, you asked about some of the clients. The Coca-Cola Company is a long-term client. We do both corporate marketing and a whole lot of HR communications for them with their global employee base. GE, on the healthcare side, is a very active client, as well as GE on the energy side. GE. So those are some of our biggest accounts.
Just a little bit big. Just a little bit big accounts. No, that's great. And folks, when I referenced the, you know, diverse authentic leaders and why I wanted Stephen to come on the show, you know, when we first talked, it was just so clear to me your authentic passion for this. You mentioned it just then, kind of like, what's your purpose? And that mixture of culture and humanity and connection and, you know, and making that impact through what you do is something I remember where I was listening to you talk and I was like, oh my gosh, I need you to come on the show and share, because you're doing this as principal, as leader in your own agency for your people, but you're also doing it in your life. This is part of the way that you walk through life, and you're clearly doing it for your clients. So can you share a bit about your philosophy on that, how that comes through in the work that you do?
Sure. So I have a creative background. My mother exposed me to all sorts of art and literature and music. And that's just been a sort of understanding family culture. And what I've learned is there's in creativity to connect people. And so that's sort of foundational in how we approach all the work we do. We're looking for very authentic human articulation of what we're doing to very purposely and intentionally make connections with people. So whether we are helping a corporation inform what they do, whether we're working with an internal corporate culture to strengthen it, to help people collaborate better, communicate better, move the business forward more effectively, using communications tools and creative tools that are sort of in expertise, just help build stronger connections that make teams stronger.
It surely does. And is the way you show up in this world and in work, is this something that you said you got it from your mom and familially it was part of the culture? Is this something that you've been conscious about in your own development and developing perhaps differently than stereotypical people who are in leadership seats?
That's a great question. I don't know that I was conscious of it for, you know, the big chunk of, you know, the beginning of my career. I love this question. Your questions. I love the sports context as well, because I have been a lifelong athlete. Played soccer growing up. I still play soccer now. And my role has always been cheerleader for the team and the team captain. That, you know, I was never the best player, but I was the most determined and the person that's going to celebrate, you know, the success of the people around me first and loudest. So in high school, I went to high school in Rochester, New York. You know, there was the soccer banquet at the end of the season where you gave best player, most improved. And then we had a fairly unique award called the Spark Plug Award, which was for, like I said, the biggest cheerleader. That was the award. So I think that's where my real passion for connecting people is grounded in, wanting to see people succeed, wanting to see them navigate competitive situations with sort of what they're best at. And then, of course, there's been an evolution of, you know, that through 25 years of life.
It's clearly working. It's clearly working. You know, but I just think that element of that connection, and it is actually such a great point to you being in communications, right? Because that communication is really where that, and being able to do it and do it well, communicating with people as it is within an organization, being able to communicate, like that actually creates a connection for people to feel safe and secure, which I think can be such a root of culture going well. I think when you do have those connection points you said earlier about being intentional, things like that, you know, it makes such a difference. And partly something that I talk a lot about is the difference between intention and perception in communication. And I think that's what you're saying is putting a hack to the difference between intention and perception, because so many times we think, well, this is what I intend to say, or this is what I intend. But then we write something or, you know, create a video, but then the person on the other end has a completely different perception. Also, I think just to your point, like the art of communication, there's a lot that goes into it to do it well.
Absolutely. And it always starts with listening. So that's one of the business, not to be prescriptive with a whole lot of listening first. So you know what? Yeah. And so when we do create communication tools and assets that they're right for the audience that we're
serving. Yeah, definitely. So going back to culture, when I said that we met at the TAN conference, I unfortunately missed what I heard was an awesome talk that you gave about culture and currency. So we're going to get into that. But again, yours was all about culture as currency. And actually, I think the element of it was actually adding it to your bottom line. So I would love for you folks, you get a little bit of an inside scoop. This was given to a closed room of agency leaders, as I shared. But are you willing to talk about that today and share sure. with the audience your thoughts and your approach to that?
Absolutely. So as I said, you know, internal corporate communications has been an expertise for myself and you know my team and you for a long time. I don't know if it was my awareness or just the way it was positioned to us by some clients, but culture was a segment of internal communications. And what I have learned in my work, and then what was accelerated is culture really touches everything inside an organization. Culture really represents the experiences people are having when they're doing their work, when they're doing their job, when they're interacting with their colleagues, when they're interacting with their customers or clients, when they're interacting with the marketplace, with media, with influencers, that sort of thing. It's those experiences that define the culture. Maybe I'll jump ahead to one of your questions. You know, what do people get in the culture space? Trying to be prescriptive about it. I mean, too often we see a leader or a leadership team or, you know, some group in the company try to define in a prescriptive way. These are the words that represent our values. This is how we're going to describe our culture. And if you do that without first listening and talking to people and understanding what their experiences are, then you're not going to have a good shot at getting your approach to culture right.
Yeah. I just want to jump in there because it's such a great point. And when a lot of times I'll hear people say the owner of the company, the founder of the company, the president, CEO, who's ever in those top seat, they said, well, they're going to go lock themselves in a room. Literally, that's the phrase. So I'm going to go lock myself in a room and I'll just come back with that. Or I'm just going to talk with my CCO and we'll come back to you. We'll bring that out to you. I think that intention behind that, again, difference between intention and perception, also oftentimes that's perceived as, well, you just think you know it all and you want to do it, or because you're the person who birthed this company. Sometimes that's right. part of it. Sometimes I think people think like, well, it's my responsibility as a leader. Right. I'm the person who has to come up with this stuff. And I'm stressing this for people who are listening. It actually doesn't matter if it's an agency, if it's a brand, you're working with these major corporations doing mm-hmm. this work. It is so important to listen, mm-hmm. talk to your people. And by doing so, it actually allows them to feel involved and they're helping to inform and it helps them buy into the concept of team and that you as the leader are in their care. You're actively listening. You're taking it in consideration. It's a completely different perception. And so I just wanted to lean in and stress that it is really important to take the time. It doesn't have to be tons of time. I'm sure you could tell us the ways to like hack your way to get there, but take the time and the curiosity, the interest yeah. in what people are experiencing every day. Don't sit in your office, look out your window at their office and think, you know, this is a great point.
That's right. And then when you spend time listening to a lot of different people at different levels and positions across the organization, able to, what we do is start to identify what are common experiences, common sentiments, common emotions that we hear that are consistent regardless of where you sit, global organization. And then when you can articulate those in sort of fresh and human and sort of, you know, relevant way, they'll say, yeah. And when they can see themselves in those sorts of communications, then that becomes incredible. And that becomes an incredible tool for leaders to say, okay, we can engage and connect everyone, unite everyone to do a better job moving in the same direction to achieve what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah. And the way you're talking about it, it's really then a fabric of the way that you're building and leading the organization as it goes forward. Instead of it, again, I think a lot of times people think of it as a layer or kind of like painting on the external of the house, you know?
Yes, we talk about too much top-down communications or grassroots without supportive leadership. How do you make it all consistent, all connected when you create that ecosystem so it's represented in, daily calls, weekly calls, quarterly town hall meetings, annual, leadership meetings, and when you can have a very consistent messaging that's relatable to the people, but also works in support of the corporate strategy. Drop culture creates currency. That's what we were talking about, right? That was our positioning on this one. So that from a very
It makes so much sense when you're talking about it that way. What typically people come to you and say, do they know that they have a either a culture or communications problem? What does it look like when someone comes to you and say, hey, we're considering working with you?
That's a great question. As I said, culture was sort of a subset of what we did for a long time. And then in 2020, when the pandemic hit, sort of the normal way we conduct business was disrupted in massive ways. Everyone all of a sudden was working from home. And all of our, none of us knew what was going on, what was going to happen, how long we were going to be in this state. Almost every single one of our clients called and said, our culture's gone. And the way we, always interacted with our people and the typical rhythm of our communications is completely disrupted. So, it meant something to go to the Coca-Cola corporate office building on North Avenue in Atlanta every day with the same group of people. Now that they're scattered, how do we keep our employee base connected and together and engaged in what we're doing? And then on top of that, with the very real business problems, employee retention, because we had the great resignation. So how do we make sure this is a desirable place for people to be? And we had a lot of people, moving on, deciding to leave that corporate career. It's a real monetary, financial issue for these corporations. And then to fill it, you have to recruit. And when you can now work remotely, work anywhere, apply sort of a digital skill set to a lot of different businesses, how do we create a culture that's desirable that people want to come and join? So the immediate thing was for us, how do we define who we are in a work from home environment in a way that resonates with people? How do we make sure our people are happy, satisfied, want to stay? And then how do we bring in, the new talent that we always need to fuel the growth? So that's what it that's why people have been coming to us largely in this space since 2020. And then we have processes and approach to a lot of different aspects of addressing those issues within a corporation. When the pandemic hit, we didn't really know what was going to happen. There was a whole lot of, there was fear, like, is our business going to continue the way it's been doing? Do a lot of creative support of trade show for corporate clients. And so all of a sudden there are no trade shows. And so our customers are, our clients are saying, help us connect with how do we connect with our customers now that we don't have, physical spaces we can get to? And so for us as an agency, and everyone was working remote, it was like, okay, what are the new skill sets we need to learn and develop so we can work in a, all of a sudden very accelerated digital space? And that gave us all a challenge. We were able to challenge our employees here to learn new skill set, which was in a way invigorating for people. And it sort of put us in a more regular rhythm of communication than I think we had when we were in the office. Thinking back before COVID, I would very often come to my office, get tied up on client calls all day, and not have as much interaction with my team as I should. And all of a sudden, trying to adopt new skill sets, trying to solve new problems that we hadn't expected before. We were on group calls and I was on individual calls. calls with, you know, sort of my team at the time. I feel like we got closer as a team. We recognized as a team what we cared about, which was working well together, which was pleasing our clients. I think that's part of the DNA that everyone has here. And that, you know, to keep our business healthy and keep our clients' businesses healthy, we have to sort of be leaders in figuring out a new way to do things. And so it strengthened us, really.
Okay, so as you're saying this, I'm thinking, and this is why I had to have you on my show. So here's the thing that comes across to me when you're saying that. You made an active choice to look at it as an opportunity to learn and grow and build new skill sets. And you believe that. And you empowered your people to believe that. And by saying that, that's where you put your time and energy. Your time and energy didn't go to fighting it, didn't go to saying, we have to have people back in the office. And it's a very different approach of looking at something about possibility, learning, growth, evolving through things that I talk about all the time in the umbrella of leadership is a sport. But when you take that type of an approach to it, that's moving from a place of strength. That, you know, I'm a basketball person. That's like lacing your shoes up and being like, let's go, versus operating from a place of fear. And I think mm-hmm. that what happens when you operate in a place of fear, that's where like control, you want to get your arms around things. And it doesn't feel as good to the people who are in your care, to your teammates, those kind of things. Because then everybody feels like wings get clipped when people are operating from a place of fear versus opportunity, learning, growing, evolving. So I just want to lean in because I want to make sure that one, I said it out loud for you, but also just so the audience is seeing that big difference in the way you approach it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Tommy. I think our ability to do that really goes back to the creative nature of what we do. We have a big creative team here, creative directors, art directors, designers, producers. And for us to succeed for as many years as we have in a creative field, our team has to be able to work together with sort of a belief in possibilities and opportunities through creativity. We use creativity really as a problem-solving approach to business problems, and that takes optimism. You know, so whatever the challenge is, we know that if we can work well together and put, you know, both, you know, creative ideas, our creative skill sets, and then, you know, expertise into this, there's all sorts of possibilities that will become available to us. So I think having that be part of how we think and work every day sort of allowed us to overcome those initial challenges when the pandemic really changed business a lot.
Makes a ton of difference. Again, I love the way you talked about that, approaching it from a place of creativity and possibility. Yeah. That's where you're going to get these transformational ideas, concepts, yeah. solutions to your point. And that's also an environment where you can build on each other's ideas. Again, it's not one person has all the ideas. No, that's empowering people to use their creativity. You really can like get the best intelligence out of people when that's the way you approach it.
Exactly. And for me, as a leader, allows me to be the cheerleader for my team as I see them do things. You know, and for us, generate, you know, new avenues of business and new revenue streams, you know, with the expanded skill set. So that's something that we're constantly in pursuit of.
Yeah. So that a willingness to learn, grow, evolve, to transform really was part of the key to making to these last 5 years. So I want to dig in a little bit more to the culture as currency. I know you had a pretty unique way that you talked mm-hmm. about that. I don't want to steal your thunder. You know, I'd love for you to talk about that a bit more and, you know, what the audience can really take.
Sure. Culture has always been an important part of the corporate experience. You know, there are people, there are corporate leaders that believe in the strength and what a good culture can do. And then there are people that see it a little bit as a soft, sort of nice to have. And what we believe is that having a good, strong culture that works in service of the business goals can be your greatest strength of an organization. And one of the analogies these ideas is when you go to a rock concert, heavy metal show, which I've done my whole life, there's a culture there. There's the black t-shirts, there's the chains, and then when the music starts, everyone explodes in a mosh pit or a rhythm to the music. And everyone knows exactly what to do. It's very instinctive. It's very much in this place. This is how we're all going to interact and behave together. And so this presentation crazy, and then the next slide is a sterile, empty corporate office building. And I'm like, what if we could take the energy from here and put it in here, put it in the cubicles and the floors and the conference rooms of this business where everyone knows how to show up, knows what to do, you know, has just a real instinct about it, about how we operate as a company. And then you build a much stronger team. So that's the basis of it. And then we get into when you have that, what does it enable? So it's stuff like better, well, there's the retention. People like to be here. They feel like they're with people, like-minded people. And you recruit people who want to be part of a dynamic team that seems to really be in sync. You get better collaboration with your teams, which can just yield better results. When you have a team that is instinctively interacting with customers, with suppliers in the same way, you know, presenting themselves with the same values, with the same language, then you have a much more consistent presence in the business world, in the industry sector you're in. So all that can be supported with, you know, a robust dialogue about who we are and how we do things, as long as it feels authentic to the people that we're communicating.
I love that analogy. And it was such a great visual for me. I'm like imagining it. And the other thing that goes along with that is you can feel the energy when you walk in that building. And that energy, or you don't feel it. There's a void, or it's like just this presence. And I think sometimes people mistake the buzz of people or lights or fluorescent lights or, you know, keyboards, tech. That's not the same thing. It's the energy from the people who feel authentically themselves, who can show up and engage, and they can that contributed to it.
Yeah. And what you made me think, and I don't know that I've used this before, but it gives people confidence. You know, they're walking in an environment where they know the expectations and they know their role in it. And I think, you know, getting a team field with confidence, you know, before the whistle is blown, that's half of what you need to succeed.
It's invaluable. And I think to your point, a lot of times what happens is there are these onboarding documents, and this is the way we operate here. And it gets very robotic. And it's kind of like, well, sure, that's what they say on paper. And you hear people whispering about those kind of things. And I talk a lot about creating an environment. That's what we're doing when you talk about that culture building, creating an environment where people are able to be their authentic selves. Then they can truly maximize impact and contribution that they're making. So there's nothing fluffy about this kind of stuff. And then the work can take care of itself. But to the point of everything we're saying here is it needs to be authentic. And this is cultural stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes so much sense when you talk about it as currency then.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you brought up, you know, there when you start a new corporation, there's often a bunch of onboarding documents. What we found is that is one of the biggest blind spots that corporations, that HR folks have, because there is a robust onboarding process, a lot to read, a lot to do, and then it stops. And then you're in a job, but there's not sort of consistency with onboarded to what your experience is now. So that's one of the challenges we worked with the Coca-Cola company, is to create an employer brand that delivered consistency from the onboarding process to what it's like being an employee at this giant multinational corporation, so that the HR ecosystem provided tools and training for individuals to develop their careers now that they're here. That was sort of consistent with the promise that they got in the onboarding document. So they have, you know, networking systems that allow you to meet, you know, people around the world. So you can sort of expand your internal network, which is you have to do to be successful in a big corporation like that. And just different aspects that do transition from the onboarding into what is, you know, not just the short term, but the long term employee experience that represents us, Coca-Cola, as an employer brand. So that's a little bit more sort of technically how we start to implement sort of culture levers that leaders can pull to strengthen an organization.
And so needed. When you were saying that, telling that story, it also made me think about something I talked quite a bit about, is that I would like for us in this world, especially leaders, people who care about leadership, is to actually pay more attention to learning curve. Again, people get hired, they get put into a position, you might have this document. Again, I'm talking traditionally speaking. It's like, here you go, figure it out yourself. Or there might be a little bit of, you know, some training and those type of things. But, you know, I think that we, as if you go into a new role, a lot of times the person doesn't anticipate the learning curve that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people can be really hard on themselves, or not meeting themselves with grace, or beating themselves up. You know, it's just a whole nother layer of stress. But I think that's the person who comes into the seat. But I think that a lot of times within an organization, there's a lack of recognition about that learning curve that is the person's going to have. And they're like, well, I don't know why they're not being successful within 3 months. And it's like, oh my God, I've worked places where I didn't even know how to turn on the light at my desk. But within 3 months, because I was drinking from a fire hose, you know? And so the stuff you're talking about, what I'm getting to, is that when you have the culture right, when you have the forms of communication, when you have a robust onboarding program like that, I think that there's more of a recognition about the reality of learning curves.
Yeah, that's funny. One of my favorite, we do a lot of video production. One of my favorite videos was a long time ago. It was for onboarding new employees at a GE. And in the research we did to design the concept, what we heard from employees across all the various GE divisions was, there are so many acronyms here. Like, when I started working, I was in meetings all day and had no idea what people were talking about. So one of the onboarding tools we created was a water cooler video, where we shot employees, one of them standing next to a water cooler, reciting all these ridiculous acronyms and, you know, maybe saying what they mean, trying to guess what they mean. But it became a piece that people really coalesced behind and said, yeah, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one that didn't know what anyone was talking about. And so you just identify that, you give people something to you know, laugh about, but also be afraid of. I get it. This is part of what I have to learn to be successful here. So that was a good one. And the funniest thing, well, we had a production assistant who was in charge of moving the water cooler around all these cheap buildings. And the kid looked like he got on the bathtub all day long for 3 days. It's amazing.
Poor kid. Oh my God. No, but it is. It's so funny. As you were saying that, I was laughing so hard. I worked for a place. It was acronym land.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
Exactly. Or they would go into meetings and just start naming people by first name. And I'm like, what client are you talking about? What the worse. Hell is going on here? And I love the part that you're talking about, when you can just be authentic about what's going on, the experience people have. Like, anybody listening to this, watching this, don't try to hide what's obvious. Don't try to mask, or, you know, we're just not going to talk about it, that kind of thing. If it is a pain point, everybody else knows it. You're not hiding anything. You know?
Exactly.
So, oh no, this is so great. You've been really generous with your time today. So thank you so much. And just before we close this out, in this space, I think there's been a lot of change. There's a lot that's been going on in the DEI space that obviously affects corporate communications. Is there anything you're seeing, or you have a watch out, or anything proactive that you can tell people to kind of have on their radars for this year?
It's a great question. So much going on in 2025. Glad you mentioned the DE space, because, you know, that has been a really important thing for corporations to communicate, and sort of our culture and everything is evolving to whatever's going to come next. wouldn't say it's a watch out for 2025. I would say what we have is a huge opportunity because there is so much change, you know, in business, in sort of the political climate around the world. The opportunity is for individuals, for teams, for corporations to look at how we're positioning ourselves, how we're articulating who we are and what we represent, what our values are, and how can we evolve it to be more relevant in 2025. You know, how can we do a better job saying who we are and what we do in a way that serves our business well? So, you know, I think that's the opportunity when you have a significant point in time like we're in right now, and the companies that do it right will continue to be successful.
Such a great point. And I smiled every time that you said, see it as an opportunity, because folks, it was a really great way to close this out, which is about creating opportunity, looking at something, the perspective you bring to it, and seeing it as opportunity to learn, grow, evolve, to get that outside counsel, to not have to figure it all out yourself, to get counsel from the other people within your organization. Thank you for all that you shared today again, and for your rock concert mosh pit. It was a wonderful visual. I hope you've enjoyed it today. You've been awesome, Stephen.
Well, it's been wonderful speaking to you. Thank you. Thanks for all the great questions. I love your show. I love what you do.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate you, and have an awesome day.
Thank you.